listening to Chrysalis Color, the podcast. Hello, this is Jorunn from Norway.
And Christine in Canada.
With a podcast about color analysis and how it applies to you in a practical way. We'll talk about how to use your colors to make your days brighter, your wardrobe more enjoyable, and your life easier.
We'll talk about topics that we find interesting, and we encourage you to submit your questions. A podcast listing is available at chrysaliscolor.com under the podcasts tab.
Hello, and welcome to episode 37. Today, we're joined by Kate Linden of katelinden.com. Kate is a certified color and image analyst located in Louisville, Kentucky. And I'm trying my very best to pronounce this, but Kate can tell us how it's really pronounced. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm super excited to be here today. It is pronounced Louisville, which nobody except people from Louisville pronounce it that way. So I think everybody else probably know what you mean.
So what's it like being a SciArt color analyst in that town of Kentucky?
So I'm the only SciArt analyst in Kentucky. So a lot of my clients actually come from other places to visit me. Sometimes they are visiting Louisville for other reasons. Sometimes they plan a trip specifically to see me, but I've had people come from like West Virginia, Wisconsin, Georgia, Alabama. And I've also traveled across the US to bring color analysis to new places.
How's Kentucky style-wise, Kate? I love, listeners will know how much we, Jorunn and I both love talking about what style means in different places. And in our last episodes, we had some lessons on Southern style from our colleague in Mississippi, Mary Steele Lawler.
So I think Louisville is a pretty stylistically diverse city. You see people who are like more dressed up and kind of more like polished and Southern in style. And then you see people who are very casual. You'll see people dressed up for like different subcultures like goth. I've never really felt, you know, out of place no matter what I'm wearing. So it really kind of depends like where you are in the city. I would say Kentucky in general is a bit more conservative and casual. But Louisville is really kind of almost like an anything goes place as far as style is concerned.
Sounds very relaxing to be in a place like that where anything goes. So Kate, you offer both color analysis and image analysis in your business. So tell us, how did you train to become a style analyst?
I trained with Rachel Nacmias in Philadelphia. She is, as you both know, also a color analyst. And her styling system is pretty modern. It's a bit more of an integrated approach to like the entire person. A lot of it is really about what outfits are going to look normal when a person is wearing them. So for example, I don't want people to look like they're heavily costumed and like stepping onto a stage, you know, in their daily lives, or like it's this whole like stressful experience for them to put together an outfit.
Yeah, I love that word normal. That word normal, we've got a function in the real world and in real life stores. It came up in our last episode too. And in Norway, Jorunn had mentioned that ordinary is a word that is used and it's a good thing. And normal to me, it means not extreme, you know, because it takes us so far off center, out of perspective, that we can't see what other people see, or we can't see ourselves the way other people see us. So then we're dressing in this, you know, imaginary world that nobody lives in but us. And what's interesting to me too is that ordinary and normal means different things in the context of where we are. And so does extreme. You know, how many celebrities had their career take off or had a big boost from some big appearance change that was over the top? And some of those effects trickle down into our world, but they are costumes. They stand out in a way that's not in the person's favor.
Well, I'd like to just shoot in that we talk about being normal and ordinary, but that doesn't mean that there's no room to be different. I just know that all three of us, we truly want each person's uniqueness to shine. And by normal, quote unquote normal, we mean what makes that particular person herself or himself.
I agree. Like when I'm in a color analysis, I always tell my clients at the very beginning that my goal is for them to look normal. And I always clarify that I mean, you know, I want them to look like very healthy, like happy, kind of like their best selves. And I think that putting people like in their own context is what makes them look extraordinary. Like so many of my clients come to me when they're in a place where they're like dyeing their hair kind of strange colors or like, you know, really reconstructing the face with a lot of makeup. And when you return them to like their natural state, that I find is what really like lights them up and makes the magic happen. So for me, normal is more about, I guess, like authenticity than like any kind of specific blending in.
Yeah. And others don't always react in this, oh my God, that's an awesome shirt. In fact, I've kind of learned when they do that, that you're kind of out of your normal because your clothing is in front of you somehow. I'm putting together these fabric color sets and I really am reminded of how much the colors in a season, in a set, need one another for the magic to come through. Like you take a true autumn color and transplant it over into a true summer set, it does nothing. It either looks uncomfortable or nothing happens. They work one against one another. But you move it back among true autumn colors and it's fantastic. You just can't believe the colors together could be so beautiful. And the colors, they need the person just as much. Eh? That like that's the magic, what they do for each other.
So do you experience this with style too? I mean, color is just a piece of it.
I do. I've found that when people are just working with their colors, sometimes there's like a piece of the puzzle kind of missing for them as far as normalcy goes. Like even after my own PCA, you know, it was a huge change from what I thought I was seasonally. And so even though I loved the colors, I could see that my season looked really good on me. It was still not fully clicking until I figured out my style and I began to create outfits that integrated both my body type and my personal coloring, because many of the styles that I was personally attracted to, they weren't awful on me, but they were a little bit out of proportion. And there was something a little bit like askew, kind of like what Christine was talking about, where you kind of see the color first, you know, people were seeing the style first. It wasn't quite right. And so people do, you know, often have like just a color analysis or just a style analysis, and that's fine. But I would say that when you have both, it can just really help you get ahead more quickly.
Mm-hmm. So, if they had only one of the two, you're okay with having them book just a style analysis?
Definitely. I think it partly depends on the person. Like I think some people naturally have a good sense of their best colors. Other people naturally have a good sense of their best styles. Like some people just really don't feel that they need, you know, one or the other. I've definitely had clients who, you know, they maybe are wearing scrubs a lot of the time and they just want their scrubs to be the right color and they're not as concerned about their style overall. Some people just really are attached to certain colors and they're not really interested in a color analysis, but they want to know what shapes are going to fit their body better. So I'd say it really just depends a lot on the individual person.
I had no idea about either. Both came as a huge surprise to me. And it's like neither color nor style. I thought I was an autumn with a natural body type.
Yeah, I thought I was a spring romantic from, you know, Facebook groups and forums. And somebody even once told me at one point I had this picture where I was wearing like a burgundy top and somebody said like, I can't even imagine you as an autumn. Yuck. You know, I'm a dark autumn actually, and I'm a natural body type with romantic influence. But at the time I was dyeing my hair a really weird color. It was this really bright red. I could see how somebody would think like, you know, you must be a spring season. Like with that hair color, it was really impossible to separate it from you know, their perception of me in these groups. And I've had really a lot of clients who, you know, come to me thinking that they're a season that's just very wildly off from what they end up being. And a lot of it is because, you know, hair color or like somebody in a group told them one time that they looked terrible in a certain color, you know, it just happens.
So I'm kind of curious, does your work with a client involve finding a name for her personal style?
It definitely can. I've had clients who aren't really interested in that, but I would say that a lot of them really enjoy that part. So I like to give, you know, my outfits and my style like evocative names. I think I have on my website that I would describe my style as modern mermaid meets cozy cat lady. Mm-hmm. Wood nymph is another one that I used to play with for a while. So a lot of my clients are really into that, like the kind of tagline for their style.
Yes, I personally, I like that tagline. It when I think of my style, I think I call myself rock chick meets Nordic explorer. And it's just a fun tagline. And it helps me zone in on outfits and clothes. And it kind of makes the picture less technical than to say, okay, I have to have above the knee and the hemline should be wide, not narrow, and blah, blah. It gets very technical, but the tagline is like, so me.
Yeah, it really infuses a little personality and a little bit of humor. Mine is fairy tale meets the Matrix. And I didn't come up with that. Actually, it was Florentina Massou in the Netherlands. I think stories and analogies are such a good way to learn, because for me, the pictures helps me add some of both ingredients. The Matrix part just comes so easy. It's such a relief for my previous out there styles, but I forget to add the fairy tale. Mm. And so with the story, it comes back to being kind of my visual normal. Kate, do you think everybody's story has two elements or three? Is two the lowest number you can distill an essence down to? Like, nobody's just 100% of one description or one story. It's like seasons, right? You could have any number, but you reach a tipping point where if you add too many, it blurs the meaning and it doesn't mean anything. But is it always two or three things, do you think, that put a person together?
So first of all, I love those nicknames. I think they're excellent style nicknames. They're very evocative. And I think like when you have a really evocative like style tagline, it can really help you like when you're shopping too. Because I think it's easier to remember like a question like, does this fit, you know, fairy tale meets the Matrix versus like, is this the exact correct shape, you know, that I need to be looking for? But as for, you know, the elements, I think it does depend. I do think there's a point where everything stops making sense. Like the more you break it down, the more confusing it gets, the more like out of reality it becomes. Mm-hmm. But I have seen people with like, you know, mostly like dramatic and natural features, but then they have like kind of an outlier, like a very romantic face or something like that. And that's something that I've addressed, you know, in image analysis appointments and in coaching where, you know, maybe they mostly wear dramatic natural, but they like a little bit of like fussiness near the face to kind of accommodate for that romantic face shape. I wouldn't say it's overly common. Usually it can kind of be distilled down to two to make everything like make more sense. But it does happen sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good comment because I'm not an image analyst at all, but once you've had the process applied to yourself and a few people, you know, you understand the value of it. And you see people where the body is this way and the head seems to be different. And I'm sure it's like with color analysis, the average person who follows the textbook in every single aspect of their appearance, it doesn't really exist. That's like one person in 100, you know, and most people are a blend of things and there will be those little surprising features. And so you have to acknowledge them. You can't really pretend that they're not there or the story doesn't come together. Kate, why or how did you add the coaching? Did you find that clients needed or wanted more help with interpretation or with what's actually possible? Because for a color analyst to add style or image, that seems kind of natural, like two sides of the same coin. But how did your coaching evolve from that?
I would say it definitely emerged from a realization that people were struggling to like integrate what they had learned in the PCA and the PIA with their real lives. So I would say coaching is kind of like when you bring the diagnostic tools into the real world. You know, a lot of people, you know, at their PCA, they're like, great, this is so exciting, I'm going to run with this. And then they go shopping and they suddenly have so many questions. It's like sometimes harder than they thought it was going to be, or like they have questions that didn't even like occur to them that they would have, you know, at the appointment. So I think that also people's jobs can really play into their shopping decisions and like their general lifestyles, their personalities, even people's climates can really have a big effect on how they wear their archetype and their colors. And so coaching really like strives to bring all those things together in a way that makes sense to the individual person and is also doable. You know, the theory is great, but if you can't like actually do anything with it, it's useless, you know? And then coaching is also just more of a relationship. It's like its own little world where we can really like dive deep into all these concepts and like play with, you know, different outfits. And, you know, sometimes I've had clients who will spend like several sessions focusing on one thing in coaching. And then they realize, I don't even like this. Let's do something totally different. And I always find that kind of really exciting because it's like, they really learned something about what they like and what they don't like. And if we hadn't had this like coaching container to really work through this in a focused way, it could have taken them so much longer to get to that point of realizing they were building their style around something that didn't even necessarily really resonate with them.
This is fascinating.
Brilliant. Yeah,
so, brilliant. Yeah, I like it. Tell us more. Tell us more about your style analysis approach.
So my styling analysis approach is really similar to my approach to color analysis. And I tell all of my clients, you know, I'm really not trying to change anything that's part of a person's coloring or their body type. When I'm styling someone, I'm really thinking about like what's going to look normal on them proportionally. Again, that normal word, what design details are going to bring out like the magic of the features they already have. And then, you know, also what their lifestyles and their personalities are like. I've definitely found that a lot of people will try to kind of like squeeze themselves into a method of dressing that they might like to look at, but it just doesn't really work for them either because like their lifestyle doesn't fit it, or they're maybe just not actually comfortable like wearing that type of item. And I think that's where frustration can really happen when like trying to get dressed. You might have this closet where you really love looking at everything, but when you put it on, like it doesn't feel authentic, or maybe it's just not right for like the circumstances of your life. You know, like if you have this super formal wardrobe, but like you're really just kind of like hanging out, like running errands, going to the dog park, you know, those clothes are going to be impractical to the point where it's going to be irritating to you on like a daily basis. At least it would be for me.
Yeah. I've seen women would put together, for instance, a mood board or a vision board, and there's a certain style of clothing, but it's exactly what you say. It's just going to be annoying and expensive. And she's not wrong, but what she needs help with maybe is reinterpreting that. And it was a real point for me to realize, I don't have to know that. Why should I expect myself to know that? Why should anybody know that? This is what you get people to help you with. So much of color mistakes, I find too, is what others have said to a person, usually a woman, we see mostly women, or choices that have been made to please other people that became habits. You find that's true of style too, or style and color?
I do. I would say it's true for both. You know, with color, like the husband who really likes blonde hair is like a whole thing. Or like people's moms will tell them very weird stuff. You know, really dating back to childhood, like I have a lot of clients who will just sit down in the chair and they're like, you know, I can't wait to find out because my mom always told me I couldn't wear any kind of pink, you know, like things like that. And then with style, I've found it kind of happens too, but like to, I think, a lesser extent, especially with people's husbands. Like I found that they don't tend to comment as much on like style stuff as they do like makeup or hair color. But often like with style, I encounter people whose moms were maybe like a classic type. And then when the client isn't, I, for whatever reason, see a lot of natural clients who have classic moms. You know, the client kind of goes through life wondering why she doesn't look good in the styles that her mom looks good in, you know, wondering like what she's doing wrong, you know, implementing her clothing. And really, she's not doing anything wrong. It's just that her mom is a totally different archetype. But that can really kind of mess with people, you know, sometimes. That's something that I've encountered quite a bit.
Yep. And then they give up and become, they go back to the natural styles that they can actually put on and have them fit and still be able to move and breathe. But there is a middle ground that can work really well. Moms, I find, well, we all know, right, that she doesn't necessarily update her beliefs. What worked for her 30 years ago is what she keeps doing. It keeps working for her, but the world moves on. And or else seeing the daughter as separate. And so mom gets, I find that too, very psychologically involved and sometimes really sure she's right. It's amazing. And then the door opens for another way. And then the woman steps through and she finds herself and she releases all that stuff really fast. She just needs that door to open.
True. So again, I'm curious about details here. So I'd like Kate to tell us a bit about how do you work with clients? Take us through the journey of the customer or your client.
Of course. So if I'm doing like a standalone image analysis or a color analysis, we just do that, you know, and that is pretty common. If we're doing coaching, one of my favorite like first things to have my client do is to put together a Pinterest board, which I like to call a soul board. And I specifically instruct them, like, don't put clothes on here. You know, don't try to make it match, you know, your season or anything like that. Ideally, I have them do this before they've had at least an image analysis. People will put like paintings, landscapes, like architecture, food, sometimes quotes. I want people to pin images that really speak to them on like a soul level, not so much clothing. And that can be a really big clue to me to like what really resonates with someone stylistically. Like one client of mine had a lot of really cool like eye motifs on her board, which was a pattern that she could wear, you know, in real life. If a woman who is like a dramatic has a lot of organic images or landscapes, then it might make sense for her to look for a lot of like sweeping botanicals and clothing. And I've been working on my own soul board for many years now. I just pin stuff to it all the time. It has like over 500 images. And I really believe that what looks good on you is like one piece of the style equation, but it also really matters what you like and what makes you happy. And I find that there can be a lot of dissonance between like what people feel like they should be wearing according to either their archetype or their season, and then like what they actually enjoy. And sometimes people forget that they can just wear things that they like, you know, it doesn't have to like fit this extreme mold.
I love this. It's it makes me happy just listening to you talking about it. So how do people find you? How do they know what service to book?
People find me online or sometimes through personal referrals. Sometimes people know, you know, right away what they want. They say like, hey, I want to book a color analysis with you. But then when people don't exactly know what they want, I offer like a free discovery call to kind of figure out like what they actually would benefit from the most. Sometimes on that discovery call, like the person just keeps coming back to color. They say like, I hate my, you know, lipsticks. I want like a new hair color. And if it keeps coming back to color, we just decide, okay, well, you might benefit from a color analysis. But then if a person says, you know, I hate all my clothes, I hate all my lipsticks, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm so confused, I want like a full transformation, that person's probably a good candidate for, if not, you know, an image analysis and a color analysis, then maybe coaching. If somebody's far away, I can just refer them to a color analyst closer to them. Or, you know, if they're really in an area without any color analysts, I can usually tell if something really big, like their hair color, is just not working at all, like it's really bad. But I do have to see them in person to really like fully know their season.
So that discovery call sounds like it's really important in helping you help the customer find out what it is they really need. And so how is coaching different from a personal color analysis or a personal image analysis?
Coaching is more long-term. You know, the image analysis and color analysis are really just like one appointment each, whereas coaching is like more of a long-term container. It becomes more of a relationship where I know the person really well. You know, I really learn like their style, and it evolves like together between both of us. Coaching pretty much almost always includes an image analysis unless they've already had one with me. If they've already had one with another stylist, I still kind of like to do it again as an opportunity to like really revisit and troubleshoot. Even if I have no like doubt about what their archetype is. And then like if they're from another country, sometimes we will just have to work out like the time differences. But I've had some clients do coaching from like Australia and Canada. I do all my coaching via Zoom, so it's not really that difficult aside from just sometimes time difference confusion.
I find people really benefit from seeing it the second time. It's either image or color. There's an awful lot to absorb the first time around. And so I'm the same. I like to see it again. And I guess with style, you need to see them talk and move. You need to see the rhythm. And I'm the same with color. You just got to look at all the colors in the face relative to one another. So even if the draping result makes perfect sense, I just want to see it with my own eyes, and it helps me answer the client's questions. And then if I can't picture the season result, for sure, we just go through it again. And again, you know, there's nobody out there really that I ever find, or it's very rare to find someone who absolutely perfectly fits the textbook description of the seasons and how they react to color. You didn't, Kate, as a dark autumn, you know, you're not the most typical. And I think Joran too, there was a few steps to get to that answer. And that's really what most people are. So yeah, the client may have a feature or trouble with the color in it. I just need to see it so that I can really help them.
Right. I've found that after a color analysis, a lot of the time I ask like, you know, okay, do you have any more questions? And people are just like deer in headlights sometimes, yeah, because it's so much information you know, to take in. I felt like that, like after my analysis, I was just like, whoa, like this just totally blew my world apart. Yeah. I don't even know what questions I have, you know, at this point. And I agree, like, I think for them, it can be really helpful just to see it again. Like I've had people come back in, not even for a full analysis, but just to like, look at the drapes again, they'll make an appointment and say like, hey, I just really want to like, look at these. And like, now that I've been working with my season, like, I need to see it again. And that can be really helpful because I think that during the analysis, people are often like, you know, they're thinking about their season, but they're also thinking about like what they thought they were, or like, you know, yeah, how their mom's going to react. You know, it's like so much other stuff that's like going through your head at that time. It can just be really overwhelming for people. And so like, I like, you know, kind of giving people the opportunity to see it again, like when it makes sense. And then like, you know, in coaching, a lot of that stuff gets worked through too, like a lot of that, like color overwhelm, or people just have like extra questions. And then the coaching really kind of depends on the person too. Like it can take a lot of different trajectories depending on the person. Like I've had people who have really wanted to mostly focus on color during coaching sessions. Like they're just like, you know, like I feel like I'm really picky about my palette and I only want to wear like the cool side, you know, and I really just want to like curate that. I've had people do that. I've had people like really focus on building like a daily uniform to kind of like work from home, something that feels exciting, but it's like not unrealistic. I've had people, you know, wanting to just build like their whole wardrobe from scratch. And that soul board is really helpful for me when we're doing that, because it gives me an idea of like what they really like, you know, not just what they look like, but what they really like and how they feel like in certain outfits. That's really important to me.
So they pay for a set number of coaching sessions then?
Yes. So I usually structure packages by kind of number of sessions or time period. So it could be like a 3-session package, or it could be a package that lasts like 6 months or a year. It really just depends on the person and like what they're trying to accomplish. And then I also offer like unlimited email support for all of my coaching clients. I really invite them to ask me like a ton of questions, you know, between our sessions, to send me photos. And it really kind of keeps the momentum going, but also gives us more time on our like face-to-face calls where, you know, we can work on deeper concepts instead of like it being eaten up by, what do you think of this shirt I just bought? You know, what do you think of this lipstick? That kind of stuff can sort of stay in the email for the most part. And then we have like more time to really explore on our face-to-face calls.
Yeah, because it's the whole image that has to work together, and you can get down into the weeds of the details. And I love the soul board because you specifically tell people, first of all, don't show me pictures of yourself, but also don't show me pictures of clothes. And I think the landscapes really helped people picture something that where they're not inserted into it. So I've been thinking about the soul board, and I feel like I would have trouble finding picture number one. And I feel that Joren would find it really easy. Would you find it easy, Joren?
No, I don't. I get stuck too sometimes, being the overthinker that I am. That's why I really suck at surveys and quizzes, because I can never find one answer that completely fits. And I always want to add caveats. But Pinterest boards, mood boards and style boards, I've made some boards like that for myself. And when I stick with it and I get into the flow of it and I manage to let go of my need to overthink, it kind of loosens up. But I'm kind of slow to start, I guess. But I do love the term soul board. It feels so much more free than a Pinterest board expressing your season or your clothes style.
Yeah, I think that it is really free. That's like a good word for it. There are like no rules to it. You can put whatever you want. Like you could put like, you know, just cupcakes on your board. Like, I don't care, you know, I can work with that. And so I found like when people have already had like a PCA or a PIA, it can be much harder because they're trying to like reverse engineer the board to make it like fit, you know, they're trying to like pin their season and like pin their archetype instead of just picking stuff that like they really like. So when I can get to somebody before they know their archetype, that's always kind of like the ideal. And it can be kind of tough to get started. I always tell people, you know, if they've had a color analysis, like go to your analyst boards, pick some images that you like from any board. And then like eventually the Pinterest algorithm will learn you. My feed, every time I sign on, it has like a ton of cool stuff that I would like. It's a little bit dangerous in that way.
There's a real leap of from conceptual application. You just can't give someone a color palette and send them to the stores. And there's this leap of picturing it in your mind and making it happen. And so I could really see the soul board helping them to project their palette into clothing and into their own lives. Why did you start doing the soul board?
So I kind of started it by accident. I started mine, you know, it really wasn't style related at all. I just started it as like a board of images that I really liked that didn't fit on any of my other like type A categories on my Pinterest. I didn't intend to like use this method with my clients or anything like that. But I noticed like for myself, every time I would make a board that was called like my style or like personal style, and I'd pin like clothes and accessories, it was really frustrating because, you know, I'm still haunted by this one dress that I pinned in like 2014 that I'm pretty sure I will never locate. I have no clue where it was from. You know, it was just really annoying. And then I found like I would sometimes spend time making the style board, but then I'd like never return to it. It wasn't interesting to me. I'd like sit there for half an hour, pin some stuff, and then like it would just totally escape my mind. It really wasn't very like evocative. And so I found that I spent a lot more time on this catch-all board, just looking at these images I liked and kind of like figuring out how to make that work with my style. And that was something that I found even with color analysis when I was doing my color boards, is that You know, when I first started as an analyst, a lot of the color analysis boards you would find just had a bunch of clothes. And for me, like, I could not fix that image in my mind, like, whatsoever when I was shopping, but I could fix like an image of like a painting in my mind. Like, I could remember that. I could remember like a landscape. I could remember, you know, some kind of just like really stylized image. But if I just saw pictures of clothes, I was not going to remember that. And then the other big thing I noticed is that when my clients would send me style boards that they had created with like images of clothes or like fashion images, a lot of the time it wasn't even that they liked the clothes. It was that they wanted to look like the women in the pictures in some way. And it took me a while to kind of realize that that's what was happening. You know, I have a client right now who, you know, realized recently, she's like, I think I just want to look like Victoria Beckham. I don't even really like her clothes that much. She's like, they're cool. They look good on her, but like, that's not even what I was doing, you know? So I think like the soul board really takes all of that out of the equation. Like, you're not having some kind of like, you know, changed body type fantasy. You're not like just looking at random clothes you're never going to find again. Like, I think it allows you to be kind of more imaginative with the whole thing.
And possibly a little closer to your real self, the one that, you know, you don't meet all day, every day. It's when you're, you know, ticking things off your checklist and running around and not censoring yourself, but adjusting yourself for, and then when you have a little freedom, it's like the difference between homework and, you know, your brain is very narrow and going down this tunnel and you're not allowed to move too far left or right. You really got to drive in your lane. And then you're allowed to have 10 minutes on your phone. And it's like, oh, finally a world I can relate to where I can be myself. And yeah, a lot of my, why I asked why you started with the soul board was because a lot of my products began with solutions I had to find for myself. I needed some way to figure out my own color choices beyond the theory of the palette. And actually, when the system started to make sense to me, when I finally got to that moment of, oh, this is what it looks like. Okay, this is what it's supposed to do together. So when I saw it in fabric, and the neutral sets were born because I could not get one single neutral color right until I shopped with actual fabric. So every physical manifestation you see, the better you get it. Makeup was a big one too. It was another one of those, oh, this is what it looks like in colored wax, as opposed to in cotton or in corduroy or whatever it may be. Did you find that it took you some time to apply a client's soul board, which I'm sure would be very personal? It's kind of like a, you know, a journey to the interior of their mind and heart. Did it take time to learn to apply that to your actual style recommendations for them? Like, what kind of pants are you going to wear?
So not really. I think also what you've said about seeing it in lipstick and clothing is really helpful. I think you're totally right. You know, people see those color squares and they're like, okay, like, I guess those are my colors. But when you put the lipstick on them, it's like, oh, okay, I see it.
Now I see what it can do. Right.
Yeah. And I think like with the soul board, it's almost kind of like the same thing. You know, I think that my coaching clients in particular tend to be pretty like creative people. And so I'm always like, listen, I know this sounds weird. I know you're like expecting me to ask you to like pin some clothes that you like, but like, just trust me. And then like on our first call, we really dive into their board and it makes sense. There are usually like several motifs that they've repeated throughout the board. Sometimes it's completely like unconscious, like the woman who had all the eye motifs. You know, I said to her, I see like a lot of eyes on this board. She's like, you're right. There are a lot of eyes on this board. Like, she hadn't noticed that she was doing that. And so we kind of talk about different ways they can integrate like either a specific detail like that, or sometimes it's mood or even like scale. Sometimes people will post these really like intricate, like landscape images, almost like, you know, like a fairy door or something like that, where it's very small scale, it's very intricate. And then sometimes people will post these really like sweeping, like majestic landscapes. And like, even that can be really a clue to me of like, this person wants like a lot of elongation in their wardrobe. Maybe they want like a lot of like filigree, you know, stuff like that. So that can always really go down a lot of different paths. And I think once they start like seeing it in real pieces that they buy. A lot of people will start with like an earring or something like that that's kind of small. I think it really clicks and it like makes sense. They're like, okay, like I see why you had me do this thing that seemed weird, you know, at the beginning.
It's so funny to go back into your memory. I mean, it's been 10, 12 years, but there's this real journey of seeing what you think you're doing and what you're really doing and what you think you look like and what everyone else sees. And in the beginning, someone will say to you, you know, this color is what looks normal on you. And it takes a few minutes to accept that because you have never, ever seen yourself look this way. This has never been the face that's looked back at you. And yet here's somebody who not only is saying this is your normal, but actually has gone ahead and proved it to you. It took a few days. With style, Rachel Natmias was my first introduction to image analysis too. And that was another funny experience because I could see it the minute I put it on, even when it was still 6 inches from my body. I didn't even have it on me. I hadn't even put the shoes on my feet yet. And you could just, it was like two magnets pulling each other together. It just made sense. And everyone else could see the colors and the styles instantly. And for listeners who want to learn more about style and image analysis, we'll definitely put a link to our analysts in the Chrysalis Color Community under resources. I'll put a link in the show notes. I used to wear colors. It's just too funny to think about. I used to wear colors and styles that were just meh. Like they did nothing for me and I did nothing for them. And then I'd go too far the other way. Those outfits were nobody anywhere, like maybe Bangkok nightlife, but nobody would see this as normal. Not in Norway, not in Mississippi, not in Kentucky, nowhere. But it was me trying to be athletic and youthful, I guess, but nobody saw it that way. And now I think about why did I think they should be able to climb into my head and see it? And sometimes, you know, like it just doesn't matter, right? My lumberjack looks, I mean, like you try living here, you know, everybody wears it, but sometimes it does matter. And then it's really good to have your color and style work for you, just to know what to pull out of your closet. It's always hanging there. Kate, how do you line yourself up with the right client?
So for like standalone appointments, like color and image analysis, people usually just book by email or on my website. And then for coaching on that discovery call is really where we figure out, you know, what the client wants, if like our goals align, if our personalities are compatible, you know, if my style of working is going to work for them. I want people to really like be happy. I don't want to just like get more clients and not like, you know, jive with each other, because it really is, you know, especially in coaching, like such a relationship, and the client has to be able to like trust me. Not just to like style them, but to like really listen to like what they're wanting and like, you know, any possible limitations that they feel like they have. You know, I've had people feel like they have to apologize to me that they don't want to wear heels. I'm like, I don't care. Like if you don't want to wear heels, I'm not going to tell you, you have to, you know? So I think like that element of trust is really important. And that's where, you know, the discovery call is like a two-way interview. You know, it's not just even about like me seeing if they're the best client, but like if I'm kind of like the best stylist for them, because I'm not somebody who is like really interested in picking out people's clothes. Like I can, and sometimes I do, but I'm like not somebody who's like, here, I picked out all your clothes for this season. Like I really want people to be able to pick out their own clothing throughout their lives. And that's something that we'll really work on together. So I think gravitate toward people who are like really interested in going deep and being very creative.
Very cool. Mm-hmm.
And earlier you used the word magic. I think it's come up a few times during this conversation. And I love that you use that word, magic. And one of your recent newsletters, and listeners, please feel free to sign up for Kate's newsletters. They're just wonderful. And one of your recent newsletters had the headline, "Getting Dressed is Ritual Magic." That's so good. And please tell us more about that.
Of course. So I'm like a really big believer in the magic of mindset. And I think that our daily rituals can have a huge effect on like not only our daily lives, but like how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about the world. And getting dressed is a ritual that most of us perform like every single day. You know, it's like brushing your teeth. So if I have a daily ritual of wearing clothes that I really don't like very much, and I'm like saving my nice clothes for later, then that's like a ritual I've created, you know, possibly by accident. And it's not usually, you know, in my experience, a good ritual to have. Like, I've definitely been there where, you know, every day I grab like the item I like the least that's clean because I'm like subconsciously saving my nice clothes, you know? And so I don't think that everyone has to dress like really fancy every day or like, you know, always wear their very best. But I do think there is like a magic in wearing the pieces that are really exciting for us. And like, it's, you know, even if you're not consciously thinking of it this way, it kind of like frames yourself as special enough to wear those nice clothes for like every day, even if you're not like seeing anybody else, even if you're just like on your computer with your hair in a bun, you know, or like perfume is like a big thing for some people too, who, you know, they might be in their pajamas, but they've got some perfume on. And I tend to be kind of like that. I have this really amazing client who thinks of her clothes as like her personal protection bubble, which I really love. She's like noticed that, you know, people really do treat her with like more respect and consideration when she wears a certain type of outfit. And it happens to be the type of outfit that makes her feel like very powerful and safe and like, you know, kind of like she has her little like armor bubble. And so I really love thinking about that. She's really inspired me in that sense.
Wow, that I love this because I'm just now working on a blog post about how not to feel invisible as we grow older. And so that's kind of on top of my mind right now. Thank you for inspiring me even further.
And like you say, it's not that everybody dresses up all the time or ever. I'm like you, I just don't dress up very often. But when I need to have a work outfit, it really makes a difference because we can get into such a rut of placeholder clothes.
Placeholder clothes. That's a fantastic word.
Yeah, I mean, they're just there taking up space, you know. But they're not doing anything. They're just satisfying some minimal social requirement. And I love that. I like this magic of mindset. I remember one time, gosh, Kate, it could be going back 10 years because we've known each other a long time. And at one point you were doing 100 happy days. Remember 100 happy days? It was a theme you were doing.
I still
think about that. When I, you know, go down the tunnel too far and it's just been too cold and too dark for too long where I live. And I think Kate is doing 100 happy days. I'm going to do that too, because magic, it can kind of be maybe a little bit of a buzzword, but magic of mindset is relatable because it means we got a choice. Other people, if you took 10 people and gave them the same circumstances, they might make different choices, but you have a choice.
Yes, choosing the mindset is the magic. That's what unlocks the possibility for yourself, because you do that. You always have a choice.
You do. Yeah, I'd totally forgotten about that 100 happy days. I remember it was a really cold winter, and I think I saw somebody maybe on Instagram doing it. And it was really kind of like a whole new way of like framing each day. You know, I'd wake up and I'd be like, well, what's my happy thing going to be for today that I'm going to post on the internet, you know? And I think it really challenged me to look for happiness in very little things. Like, you know, I remember one time it was like this rose scented sunscreen, you know, like something silly like
yeah. that.
It did like really, you know, make me happy. And so I think, yeah, with the placeholder clothes, like I always have to stop and ask myself and like sometimes my clients, you know, what are you saving your nice clothes for? Like what like magical future day is going to just be like special enough for this dress when you can make a normal day very special just by like wearing it? It can be a huge mindset shift for people.
It's just like using the good china, drinking your tea out of that thin porcelain cup. It's the same thing. And exactly. You know, Christine and I often talk about the transformative power of knowing your season. How has your personal transformative journey been, Kate?
PCA has really been like a huge transformation for me. Like, I tell everybody that even if I had never draped anybody else, that like just getting my own color analysis was like worth the price of my color analysis training, which if anybody's ever looked into it, it's pretty pricey. So that's like a really dramatic statement to make, but I'm really serious because, again, it was really like a mindset shift for me where, you know, I used to like just, if something didn't work, a lipstick, a shirt, even a jacket, I would think like that it was my fault. Like it was something I had done wrong, you know, whereas after color analysis, I realized, well, you know, and image analysis too, but especially color analysis, I was like, well, this lipstick looks bad because it's not your season. That's not because like, you're just ugly, you know, it's because this lipstick doesn't work for you. And that was like a huge expansion for me to think about things in that way. Everything like really clicked. Like I stopped wasting money on the wrong stuff. I stopped coloring and straightening my hair. I used to straighten my hair like a lot. My hair's naturally curly, so it was just not very effective in general. And it really like transformed my whole life to know my season. It like opened a lot of different doors for me.
Yeah, it was exactly the same for me. I was my first look at what I could take on or what I could be. And I like solving problems and keeping them solved. I don't like going back to the same problem over and over. And so a color and image analysis, both, I started putting on jackets that I just put on and they fit. And it was kind of one of the many revelations along the way of, oh, you mean this is never going to be a problem again? You mean I'm always going to get makeup right every single time I buy it? That's new territory, eh? Kate, is there anything you're still working on or evolving? Because the journey keeps going, right? You keep leveling up. The more you're around color, the more it shows you.
Yeah, I think it definitely goes through phases. You know, like I went through this phase where I wore like teal and burgundy together so much that like somebody had started teasing me about it. And like now I was thinking the other day, I really don't even wear these colors very much at all, especially together. You know, I've gotten lately really comfortable wearing less makeup. I've been kind of like weirdly anti-mascara lately. I'm sure eventually I won't be able to imagine skipping mascara again. You know, it's just kind of like keeping it interesting, changing things up. Like I never used to wear yoga pants. Now, like I really love them for certain situations and like outfit types, but I totally agree with you. Like finding a good lipstick is just not a problem anymore. It's more, now I feel like it's more about like preference and exploration versus like, this is a problem in my life and I'm trying to fix it. It's not so much about like things being stressful.
It's about how do I stop buying perfect lipsticks? They start popping up everywhere.
Such an easy answer to that question. Never. Yes. Why should you ever stop buying perfect lipsticks?
Right. That's such a silly question. You finally figure out how to choose them, you might as well keep going, right?
I know. So Kate, you told us earlier that you were traveling a lot before, and this is probably pre-pandemic, and you were offering color analysis in a number of places, but have you started traveling again? Are you planning to again, or what?
I have not started traveling again yet, but I would really like to. It's something that I used to do a lot. Like I used to travel pretty much like every other weekend, or sometimes I'd be traveling for like a week straight, going to different places. And I've really been, you know, not everywhere in the country, but I've been like to the West Coast. I've been to Colorado, Florida, Maine. There were several places I went like two or three times. And it was just really fun to be like immersed in color analysis for like a whole weekend or like a week, get to like see different people who like normally maybe wouldn't be able to make it to me. Sometimes I'd have groups actually organize themselves, like so I could visit their area, whether it was like a group of friends or like, you know, moms with their daughters, and they'd kind of like reach out and say like, hey, would you come here? And I could usually fill in the gaps like myself by posting on like my website. And so I really enjoyed that. It was like a really, I think, good way to like get out of my head about color analysis. And like, it just felt very like fun and free. And so now that like travel is a possibility again. You know, for a while it didn't really feel realistic. I'm still very open to traveling for PCA. There are a couple places people have kind of asked me to go. But I would like to travel again. So if anybody listening has ideas for where they'd like me to come, you can send me an email. It's always easier to plan a trip when I know that people there like want me to come already. But I thought it was really fun. I really enjoyed that time.
Imagine too, you could be really efficient, you know, like efficiency is a big part of my life or my soul, my person. And you could get a lot of preliminary, well, you could do the color analysis, what I'm saying. And then the line analysis, you can do that online once you get home. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah. So normally when I travel, you know, occasionally I've done like an image analysis in person, but often it's nice to, you know, do a bunch of color analysis appointments. And then, you know, anybody who later decides they want like an image analysis, I've already seen them in person. And so they can be confident, like, I know what they look like, you know, I have like a really good, like real life idea of their archetype. And so while I can do it completely online, and I've never had an issue doing that, I've found that some people do feel more comfortable knowing that I've seen them in person. So yeah, it can be very efficient in that way. And I've had a lot of people get like a color analysis while I'm traveling and then later, you know, decide to do their image analysis online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just need to see them. Like, we learn so much psychologically about one another more than you'd ever think. Clients have taught me so much about color and color perception and self-perception. Have you had any great insights from your clients about color analysis or just general life guidance?
So I've had actually a lot of really great insights from my clients, like in terms of like style and color and yeah, just life. But one of, I would say, the biggest insights that my clients have given me is just that it's like not that serious. Like it's serious, but it's really not. Like the world is not going to end if you decide like your favorite nail polish has nothing to do with your seasonal palette. And it's like, okay to make choices about when, you know, dressing to your image archetype or your season really matters. And like when it just doesn't matter as much, because, you know, you get dressed every day. That's kind of like, I think one of those beautiful things about it being a ritual is that, you know, if you've been wearing like your clothes that you hate for weeks, like tomorrow you can wear something you like, you know, it's not like you're stuck one way or the other forever. And so like after my PCA, I had this weird like type A idea that everything I bought like from then on like forward had to coordinate with me. So like journals, coffee cups, I mean like anything, like I thought this needs to be dark autumn so I can be like hyper coordinated all the time. And it became kind of exhausting. And so I realized, you know, eventually this is silly. Like I can drink coffee out of a hot pink cup. It's not going to, you know, make me less dark autumn or like make me look weird, you know? So I try to tell people, you know, if your favorite colors aren't in your palette, that's what you should decorate your house with. Like decorate your house with the colors you love to look at, because you're not looking at yourself all day. Like you're looking at what's around you. So last summer, I was really obsessed with this light blue nail polish that I just happened to find at a Walgreens, and it wasn't my season at all. It was like shimmery. It was light blue. It had this like purple shift. But for whatever reason, it didn't make my hands look bad. It didn't like, you know, some nail polishes can make your hands look really strange. So this one didn't do that. And I loved it. It wasn't my season and I knew it wasn't my season. But I enjoyed it. And then I got tired of it. And so I found that, you know, when I do sometimes wear something that's off palette, it feels fun. It feels novel. Sometimes it feels like a little deviant, because I know that it's not right. But then I find that I can't wait to get back to wearing my dark autumn colors again.
It's like a little rebellion. It's or like a fling. And then you come back to your one true love with more pleasure. So, well, anyway, this has been such a fun talk. And thanks to our listeners for joining us. And thank you so much again, Kate, for being with us. We've enjoyed this so much. And our listeners will find the links for Kate's website where you can contact her and Kate's social sites and the soul board in the show notes. And if you'll excuse me, I'm going to be off now to my Pinterest creating a soul board.
A soul board. Yeah. Let your imagination run loose.
I hope you both make one. I'd love to see it. And thank you both so much for having me. It was super fun. It's been a great chat.
It's been a great experience. I really enjoyed catching up with you, Kate. Thank you, everyone, for being here. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.